T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Would he have told you he would have wanted the Pelicans to win the Zion Williamson lottery or the Knicks to win the Zion Williamson lottery? They were both in the top four. You know, we all went to commercial. It could have been the Knicks or the Pelicans. I think most people involved in the league office would have preferred him there, but you know, he can't say that. So what we've seen with this Supermax is it's not worked in some cases. The New Orleans Pelicans were not protected. They offered it to Anthony Davis. He said goodbye. The San Antonio Spurs offered it to Kawhi Leonard. It did not work. It never got there with Paul George or Kyrie Irving because they both asked for trades. But the fact that they didn't even allow it to get there was an indication that it's not an issue. But in other places, it did work. Westbrook did sign it in Oklahoma City. Harden did sign it. As I mentioned, Steph Curry did sign it. So it's sort of been a mixed bag so far. But because Giannis is such an incredible player, so young, so talented, very good, likely going to be a multi-time MVP by the time he would become a free agent, if he passes on it, it'll be a referendum on the whole system. That's my guess.
And does the disgruntled player factor, the threat of a player being disgruntled, does that add into the calculus as well? Because to a lesser extent, Andre Iguodala traded to Memphis, didn't want to go there, didn't have to go there. If a player like Giannis decides to sign with Milwaukee and then realizes after a year he's not happy and wants out, doesn't that ultimately break the system in and of itself?
Well, there's actually a provision in there which has never been tested to this point. But you can't be traded for a year after the contract kicks in. So let's say the Bucks win a championship this year, and Giannis is, or whatever happens, or Giannis is happy enough that he signs the extension. Not only could he not be traded for the next year while his current contract goes, but then he would not be able to be traded for another year as the new contract starts. So again, I say in a vacuum, there makes very little sense for Giannis to actually sign it this summer other than to just make everybody in Milwaukee happy. But it's easy for me to say that sitting here, not being in Giannis' shoes. He may be very happy there and he may commit to it, but they have taken provisions to try to deal with that. And Westbrook really couldn't have gotten traded had he wanted to do that a year ago. He had to wait a year into that new contract before he could ask for a trade. As it turned out, it wouldn't have happened that way. He was playing alongside Paul George, and Paul George had re-signed, and he was happy. But they've actually thought about that, too.
Brian, thanks very much for joining us. We appreciate it, man. It's going to be a fun run down the stretch. Who do you think is best positioned to make a run at the finals?
Well, the Clippers are, in my mind, the best team, 1 through 10. But they haven't been healthy. And to make an assumption that they're going to be healthy is a stretch at this point. So we'll see. I think the Lakers will have a fighting chance because they've got LeBron. But my guess would be one of two LA teams. And in the East, I could see three different teams winning it. But Milwaukee's in the driver's seat for sure.
I'm rooting for Milwaukee and Utah in the NBA Finals. That's what I want in the NBA Finals this year. So you guys can have great trips to Milwaukee and Salt Lake City. Two underappreciated cities, Brian, as far as I'm concerned.
I'm from Cleveland. Cleveland's awesome in the summer, and so is Milwaukee. So you're not going to get anything complained from me.
There you go. That's
Brian,
my
you're the best. I love listening to you.
That's why we like having you on. Brian, great job as always. We really appreciate it. We enjoy watching you on The Jump. We'll talk again soon.
Have a great weekend.
All right, thank you. We appreciate it. That's Brian Windhorst
over at
ESPN. Yeah, he's a lot of fun. He's got some great insights. And that's how he got his start. I believe he got his start writing the LeBron book when he was in high school, is that right?
He was
covering him in high school. He got his start there?
Yes, indeed.
Not so bad.
And no, not too bad, especially when you get a nice stint in Miami, follow him back to Cleveland, and then from there he progressed to the national stage, as Lowe knows well.
Yeah, and when you're that type of guy that just have the foresight and the fortitude to see a young man of LeBron's stature, and you see that this guy's going to be special, and here's a young guy just said, I'm going to cling on. And LeBron understood that, and LeBron really appreciated what he did. So instead of giving him a hand down, he gave him a hand up. And now Brian's just took it and ran with it. I know a lot of guys, even in radio, that you know, they give them the opportunity, and they take off. Give them an opportunity to shine, and they shine.
I'm looking at one right now. That's all I can say.
Oh, Dibbers? Oh, yeah. He's
talking about you and the opportunity we gave you back in the Rise Guys in 2011, 2012, when we had you on as a football insider, and we crafted Low on Love, which you then took and used without our permission in other forums. And if it wasn't for Whitey, Mark, and myself, Lorenzo, you'd be nothing more than a slumlord pig farmer back in the valley. So you're welcome.
Running backs coaching the XFL is what you'd be right now. Fair enough? Is that fair enough?
No, I don't think you could hack in the XFL.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm pro X, I'll tell you that.
You sure are, Jim.
I am pro X.
What's the biggest matchup this weekend?
Houston Roughnecks and whoever they're playing.
We don't know.
I think it's Houston and Tampa.
That's you think?
Yeah, I think
nice,
so.
Dibbers.
How many Stanley Cups for Grant Fuhrer while we're at it? Yeah. You think he won four?
You think?
What else do you think, Jim?
What else do you think, Jim?
Wow, what are you jumping on his bandwagon for? I thought you and I were boys.
No. Now we're jumping on an XFL.
No.
I'd be in the league. I'd be coaching the National Football League.
No. You hit me with. Do you ever want to do that?
No. Dude, I could pick up the phone and tell any
coach
I could do an intern and go from there. Ben and me, all those cats. Of course I could, but I don't. I like being with you until you always start throwing me under the bus.
I'm not going to do
XFL
that.
XFL and this and that and the other. You're staring at one.
Well, maybe that's going to be the topic of someone's dream job application. The Dream Job Contest officially has launched. It's your chance to become an on-air host at 95.7 The Game, much like Lorenzo Neal won his dream job.
Sure did.
After being a guest with Dan. How about that? We're now accepting a video submission. It's online at 957thegame.com. Your video should be 1 minute long, giving us your best sports rant on a topic of your choice. Doesn't matter what. There are some great ones out there. I've seen a couple of them. Looks very good. But here's the key. No music.
No music.
And this is a legal thing.
Music.
You can't have the music involved in the because there's legality there. So I'm just saying, if you have submitted something with music, It's out. Submit something else without that. Okay, without the music. We select the best 16 videos and have you compete against each other. A live event Saturday, March the 7th.
It's going to be awesome.
You going to be there?
Oh, why not?
I think the entire station should be there.
I mean, to watch this competition is going to be it's going to be epic.
957thegame.com.
That's that guru guy.
Well, and let's not kid ourselves. Am I right or am I not right? The single most well-liked guy at this station is Guru.
Give yourself a round of applause.
He's got to be a part of the...
Without a doubt.
It's not even close.
Internally or externally?
Both. I might say both. He's a man of the people. He's excited.
He's much beloved, there's no doubt.
Hey, that was good, Coach. Give me a gift.
It was something. It's not quite as good as Dib's version of Daryl the Guru.
Guru's awesome, and he was the original winner of Lucky Break. Lucky Break won, and he's parlayed it into a great career. So if you win Dream Job, who knows? You can find your way into a long 10- or 20-year career here on 95.7 The Game.
You know what I love about this particular one, the one that wins this one? It's, you know, Guru had to have a partner and all the different things that we do, these partner shows. The great thing about this is going to have that time slot, the prime time slot, from 5 to 6 every morning, Monday through Friday. So you're talking about
seriously?
A single person getting
to do he's trolling Steven right now.
Guru's my absolute favorite person at this station. I love Guru.
He is, right? Am I not? I'm correct.
100%.
It's not even close.
100%.
I like everybody here. All right? But
when I started out here, I worked with him on the night show. He was great with me there.
Yep.
Has he always been?
I worked for him with his first solo show. He was great on that first solo show.
Has he always been your favorite?
And he's continued that attitude throughout. Always been nice to me. Never shot me down. Never
real humble.
Just a great overall guy.
If there's a guy you'd want to hang at a game with from our station, being that we're the game, it'd be Daryl the Guru Johnson.
100%.
I'm keeping it 100.
You wanted to? Oh, okay.
Little Hundy over here.
Really?
Oh, no question.
All right.
You don't think so?
I thought you'd want to hang out with me.
I mean, I want to hang out with you.
I understand you're talking about goo, but I thought that, I thought we had a little thing.
We do
in
have a thing going.
I thought we had some stuff in common, but for that.
We got a lot of stuff going on.
I'm fine. You know, but it's cool. And Dan Dibley.
I've gone to Dan Dibley's appearances.
Yeah.
And been just like a listener.
I'm shocked because Dibley.
You were the only one who showed up, and I'll never forget that.
But I did show.
You were my one friend that day.
I'm your plus one. I was your plus one that day.
Lo, on the other hand, I had the biggest game in the better part of two decades as a coach.
Don't do this.
He was four blocks away, told me he would show up, and couldn't bring himself to come four blocks away.
Because I took a nap, and I overslept.
Those things happen when you have to get up at 4 every day.
Yeah, then last week I invited him to come out to my favorite watering hole in the East Bay, and you know he was all excited to come and you know give me a call and text me, and well, he didn't show up then either.
I called you, texted you, let you know I wasn't coming.
Yeah, after I had been there for half an hour, but it's all right.
I'm just shocked because you helped so many of these guys get gigs, and like Steven and
all
these people.
Yeah, right, and he just turned right against me.
So you
crop dust him with, and the guy who wins, the dream job winner does not get Steven's spot, which is what you were intimating. You're intimating that Steven's out, dream job is in.
He's out!
So you crop dust him, and then he comes over the top and disrespects me. So I'm feeling some kind of way
over
here.
We got a crazy Friday going on here today, so we got to clean things up. Let's get it back on the tracks.
You're keeping it 100, Jim.
I'm keeping it 100 right now.
My God, the cringeworthy statements that you've made today.
Chilton Autobody text line is 95795. Russell Westbrook yesterday with kind of a punk move. Right, kind of a punk move. So we asked about the biggest villains in Bay Area sports from the 408. LeBron, a.k.a. LaFlop. Number two, tough guy Russ. Number three, the beard. Number four, Chris, dirtiest player in the NBA, Paul. Five, Pat the Pest Beverly. Six, Lou, why can't anybody cover him, Williams? And it finishes with Katie who?
Wow.
Well, a little disrespect
scoreboard.
For a guy who, if you didn't have him, you would not have won two championships. Right?
Yeah, I think that is disrespectful. And I'm surprised that, like, maybe Max Muncy didn't get some votes for the take that out of the ocean comments, or Yasiel Puig, or some of your other various Los Angeles Dodgers.
I think Max Muncy's keep me out of the ocean or whatever he said.
Go get that out of the ocean.
Yeah, go get it out. That is one of the greatest comebacks as we round the bases in Bay Area history.
And the Dodgers are having get that out of the ocean bobblehead night when the Giants come to town in the end of March.
That is fantastic.
And the bobblehead's pretty cool because you see Muncy pointing. And by the way, it's the Bay, Max. Memo to Max Muncy. If you hit one in the ocean, that's about a 7-mile foul ball the wrong way. That'd be quite a prodigious foul ball, by the way.
Look at you. Why are you
papooing?
Why are you papooing something that goes down in Giants Dodgers lore?
You're a guy who strives on accuracy. Kind
Am
of.
I? Am I?
You tell me, Grant Fuhr.
When did that
How many
start?
Stanley Cups did he actually win?
Four.
Are you sure, Jim?
With Edmonton.
Who do the Roughnecks play this weekend? Are you sure, Jim?
Wow.
It is Tampa.
Wow. Tampa, thank you.
Yeah, I can't wait.
Yeah, in your face. I got that right.
I had to look it up for you.
Yeah, but I got it right. I didn't have to look it up.
What's your favorite Roughnecks memory?
Nice.
You know what it is?
What?
They scored their first touchdown, and then on their multi-point conversion, the wideout projectile vomited before the
Shut
snap.
Up.
I'm not
he
kidding.
Did
he
not.
Did. He
did
stands
he really?
Up. You can find that online. They go for the two-point conversion from the three or from the five, however they run it in the league, because I'm a big-time fan.
Obviously.
How many points were they going for?
They were going. I think it was a two-point conversion.
If it was two-point, then they were going from five.
From the five. And you see him line up. He's the slot. And all of a sudden, he just leans forward and a projectile vomit. It was their first series of the game. He was so hyped up and crazed, he had to projectile vomit.
God.
Yeah, his body was so worked up, he vomited on the first play.
Khalil Lewis, apparently.
Boom.
Oh, my God. Did that happen, Dibbers?
I'm just
wow.
Just a quick Googleage.
Wow.
Yeah, well, shows you I am a longtime fan of the Houston Roughnecks.
It shows you didn't talk about a play. You didn't talk about what
going
happened.
For the multi-point
All
conversion.
You talked about was a guy. Did they convert it? Did they make it?
I don't think they did.
I'm just
you're looking at it, aren't you?
I'm looking at a picture of him in the slot in a two-point stance, leaning forward, and it's just an absolute stream.
It's a gusher. It's a gusher, too.
It's a total gusher.
It's not
gusher.
Like I had something, I just had to spit something out. It is a gusher. It is nasty. But that's the intensity you get with the XFL. Okay? Look at that. Now, did you ever low play with guys who had to throw up before the game? Honestly. Because there are guys who have to vomit before every game.
Absolutely. Chris Dillman, we'll get him on the phone. Pro Bowl offensive guard.
Right.
He went from the University of IU, Indiana University, and he was, you know, brought on as a practice guy, in practice team guy.
Mm-hmm.
End up going from defense to offense, starting at the guard, having a great career.
Pro Bowl guy.
Every single game, throw up. And just like, dude, all right, I'm ready to go now. And you just looked at you like, turn your head, here he goes.
I would, because I'm...
Yes, I've seen it, yes.
And because I'm the guy, if one guy starts it...
You got it, oh, you'll throw up.
Total barfarama?
It's a chain. It begins the chain, oh,
if you see someone throw up, you'll throw
up
too?
Yeah, then I'm right there.
Yeah. Guys, yeah. It's a lot. Guys are so weird. Before a game, guys got to drop heat. They got to go to the bathroom. It's so many things that have little funny...
But it's because
courts.
They're getting their body so
yeah,
worked. They
absolutely.
Know trauma is coming.
Oh, yeah.
And they've got to get their body right, and their body rejects whatever's in there now, and they got to throw up, and then they go out and play, and yeah. Everything's fine.
Yeah, guys going to get slapped, and I never been on that.
You
guys like, I want to get slapped before a game just to get fired up. You've seen it, Dibs. You've seen guys. And slap them right in the face just to get them going. Headbutting one another. And I hit the helmet a couple of times. I've done that just to get used to that, you know, because what it's going to take, but... Slapping, poo-pooing, just poo-pooing all over the place.
Oh, the old poo-pooing.
It's just a mess.
Always.
Talk about a pregame.
Yeah, I know, huh? Huh? You're getting into the XFL now, aren't you?
No.
Yeah, you are.
Not at all.
Give me...
No, go ahead, Jim. Let's go.
I was
just going to
say, Brett on the freeway.
Hey, Brett on the freeway.
Well, we're doing our list of most hated guys, Bay Area villains, and in the end, it's a KD who. Brett, what do you got? What do you got on number 35?
Well, I was actually going to talk about Westbrook myself.
Alrighty, go for it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm wondering about this cat, or should I say J-Cat, because, like, he's just, like, I was watching the game, I know it's nationally televised, and I'm trying to rewind back on my Comcast on why he threw that cheap shot at Damian Lee, and there was nothing that, like, led up to it or anything like that. It's like, what kind of message are you trying to send? You know, you're up 35 points, you're in the fourth quarter beating a glorified college team right now, And you're throwing cheap shots. Like what are you pumping yourself up for? You haven't won a ring. You haven't even gotten to that point, that stage. You even got to the finals yet, for that matter, have you? And it's like I just don't understand his mentality. Like, I'm not saying he's always in the wrong, because I applaud his Charlie hustle on the court. But it's like sometimes you just got to tone it down just a little bit. And when a team's down like that, and you're taking cheap shots. That's all I got, guys.
I agree. Thank you very much. It's like the varsity going down to the eighth grade and beating up on the eighth grade is what it's like.
And then being up by six touchdowns and standing over some poor eighth grader that you just pancaked and letting them know what just happened. That's embarrassing,
it's
Jim.
A weak move.
It's fake tough is what it is. He leads the league in technical fouls. By the way, Draymond Green second with 12, despite the fact that he's only played in some 42 games.
Wow. That's he cares. Crazy. That's because he cares.
Passionate, Jim.
He's a passionate player. He's our guy. That's okay for him to do that.
Hey, Jim, I'll tell you what it'd be like. It'd be like me next Wednesday going out and just beating up on Div on the court, which I do. People are like, why'd you do that? That was not fair. You shouldn't have did that. So, you know what? You're right. And that's why I'm not going to beat up on him. I'm just going to have a good time with
him. You're going to have fun. You're going to toy with him. You're going to toy. You're like a cat with a mouse.
Yeah.
You're going to bat him around.
Yeah, don't be mean.
You got these big claws.
Yeah, put the meat hooks on him. I ain't going to make it.
You're going to bat the bunny around. Just bat it around
just
a little
him,
bit.
Shake him around. Let him loose. Let him think he's getting to safety. I got you. Come back. Hi.
Will Lowe be the new number one hated Bay Area villain?
That's why
after this performance?
That's why I can't do that to him. Exactly.
Lowe may be that. And by the way, we've got to fill our final two spots in the free throw contest.
Yes.
For the disgrace at Chase. We'll do it at 7:45 and at 8:45. Okay? Fair enough?
Great, Jim.
Is that good?
Jim's like, great, Jim.
All week we've been doing it.
9 o'clock. We've got Kalena. We're going to define the rules for the disgrace at Chase. I don't think you're ready for this. You're not taking it seriously, Dan.
He's in his shorts.
Are we playing today? When are we playing, Jim?
Oh, nice.
Do you know?
Playing next Wednesday.
Okay. By next Wednesday at 9 o'clock, I will be as ready as I humanly possibly can be.
Yes.
All right.
But not until then.
Here's what's coming up on the game.
Please tell us.
It is brought to you by Whole Foods Market. Did you hear what David Ortiz had to say about Mike Fiers regarding cheating in baseball? It will shock you. Jim Cozumel in for Joe Fortenbaugh. Joe Lowe and Dibs You can join us on the Chilton Auto Body text line 95795. Hit us on the phone lines 888-957-9570 right here on 95.7 The Game.
I'm hella excited.
Now back to Joe Low and Dibs.
I'm trying to be professional here,
right?
And rip other media members. That's what I do
on 95.7 The Game.
That's just mean. That's just rude.
What's rude, Jim?
Ripping other media members.
It's business. It's what you do.
It is. It is. You know, you're always nice to them, and then you shiv them when they're away.
That's how it goes. That's how it goes. Lowe's trying to shank me through the guys in the back, but they saw better of it. I don't pretend like you weren't trying to get them to throw a flag.
I already know what it is. I know how this works.
I know exactly how it works.
You know how it works.
You're finally here. I saunter in at the buzzer, and you try to throw me under the bus, and they weren't having it. And so now you're mad with your feet up.
Because I get it all the time, don't I, Jim? Anytime it's me, you do. They want to get it.
They're too mean. You know what? I'm with Bob Myers on this.
But I'm used to it.
They're way too mean to you.
It's always that. You got to realize. They do whatever. When I call them out, the back room, the front room, everyone else, no. Let's just make low that guy. It's always the guy. You know what? It's okay.
You're the one guy with gravitas in this room. You're the one guy with a resume who has a little something behind it, and they're always coming down your road.
I'm fine. You know what? They'll do it.
Thank you. Thank you on the 925. Enjoyed watching me on Sharks pregame and postgame yesterday with the great Scott Hannon. Tough Sharks loss.
Somehow not a text of the day nominee.
No?
No.
You'll get that on my Twitter feed later.
Despite Lowe's glowing endorsement of how good you looked. What was your favorite part of the pregame, Lowe?
No, the biggest thing is how Kozos was able to break it down and talk about the Sharks. And, you know, even though they've been not having the gear that they should have thought they would, but the way they've been able to compete. And Kozos is always pointing that out, the defense.
What a good guy. Things.
Do you think they'll trade Joe Thornton, Lowe, before the deadline? Do you think they should to give him a chance to maybe get that so far unobtainable Stanley Cup?
Welcome to the money spot.
Yeah, I know. Exactly. Well played. Let's clean up the phone calls. 888-957-9570. I want to get a call on villains because Moose is in San Jose. We'll get Moose, and then I want to get into what David Ortiz had to say about Mike Fiers.
Ooh.
It will shock you. Moose, what do you got? Westbrook, CP3, who are the villains out there?
So Westbrook and CP3, in my opinion, are the two. They are tier one Bay Area villains. These two guys, they feed off of this type of energy. This is what they need in order to be at their peak performance on the court. They play the game in your head. They play on the court. They also play in your head. Westbrook's been doing this since UCLA. The better he's gotten, the more intense he's gotten. So it's kind of – we're at the point now, Westbrook, because we know what's coming with him. We know he's going for the low-hanging fruit. We know he's going for a Juan Toscano, for a Damian Lee. He's not going at – I mean, he'll go at Steph because he's shorter. He's not really going at Clay. He was never really – he knows he can't really go at Draymond or a KD type. He's going for the guys he knows he could punk on. I do want to make a quick comment on the Ortiz thing.
Go.
You guys teased it. I think that guy, for being – his career was washed out before he got into Boston and started using the stuff he was using. The guy should just keep his mouth shut. He has absolutely no room to be talking about guys cheating or people snitching. And this might sound a little – going a little far, but – he wasn't calling anybody a snitch when he got into the situation he got into recently with the shooting. And, you know, people were squealing to the police about who pulled the triggers. So I'm sure he was happy when people were snitching then. I mean, he needs to just keep his mouth shut, in my opinion.
That's solid. You know what, Moose? You ought to submit that as your 95.7 The Game submission for the dream job. That was solid work by Moose right there. He covered a couple of – spans a couple of topics. He transitions us from one to the next. By the way, it's now, thank you, 707. It's called keeping it a buck now. That's what it is. You got that, Low? It's called keeping it a buck, not keeping it a hundy.
Keeping it a buck.
Keeping it a buck. That's what I'm told.
Which is a honey.
All right, so David Ortiz, and maybe you didn't hear what he had to say about Mike Fiers. Mike Fiers is agent zero with this whole Astros cheating scenario where managers and general managers are losing their jobs, but players get to go out and play the game and make millions upon millions of dollars, even though players put together a cheating scandal that we haven't seen since the 1919 Black Sox. Let's start with Ortiz about Fiers and what he calls Fiers and Fiers' role in this whole scandal.
I'm mad at this guy, the pitcher that came out talking about it, and let me tell you why. oh, after you make your money, after you get your ring, you decide to talk about it? Why don't you talk about it during the season when it was going on? Why you didn't say, I don't want to be no part of, oh, now? So you look like a snitch. You know what I mean? Why you got to talk about it after? Well, that's my problem, you know. Why nobody say anything while it was going on? You know, people is not stupid. You know? Like, if I heard that, if I'm a fan that come to that stadium, every home game, like we have, at some point I'm going to hear that banging. And I'm talking about as a fan, okay? And they're going to come out, how come there's this banging going on every time we are hitting? You know, like, it was something that it was, from what I have seen, seemed like it was something that it came to the point that it was obvious, too obvious, you know what I'm saying?
So is he a snitch or not a snitch? Or is he doing baseball a service saying, you know what, this is the worst. Listen, it's one thing if there's a guy at second base and my catcher isn't hiding signs. That's one version of stealing that we get in baseball. But you can't have an electronic system where you've got some camera out in the outfield, you got buzzards hooked into guys' uniforms, more than just banging on a garbage can.
I don't think that the word snitch applies in this case.
Okay.
Because it's been going on for so long. It was going on in a rampant fashion. Teams had complained to Major League Baseball. This is not something that happened in a vacuum. When D'Angelo Russell secretly videotapes Swaggy P talking about having extra relational relationships with another woman, that's a whole different thing, because that was an unnecessary act of pure snitchery. This is something where baseball had complaints, multiple teams, more than a dozen teams, in fact, complained to Major League Baseball about the Astros and cheating, yet baseball did nothing. So Mike Fiers goes to another team and he wants to get the news out there. I think that this is a little bit more whistleblower, and I think if you're a whistleblower, it doesn't necessarily make you a snitch. Maybe it's just parsing terms here, but I don't consider him to be a snitch.
But the thing is, Ortiz isn't the only one. We've heard other people involved in the game say essentially the same thing. Why is Fiers going off and doing this kind of stuff? And I don't understand that, because I do think,
because he wanted to win, else when he left the team, like you said, like when he left the team, like Dibs is saying, he went and told, he said, look, watch out. There wasn't just him. Why isn't everyone talking? I mean, why isn't Ortiz talking about the 12 other teams that kept telling the Major League Baseball and telling the commish this is going on? Where there's smoke, there's fire. It wasn't one. It wasn't two. LeBron said, I'm going to win how many championships? Not one, not two, not three, not four, not five. I mean, it keeps going. The list went on to like 12, 13. It was a bunch of teams. So everyone's coming down Mike Fiers' road, please. He wasn't the only one. A lot of teams were saying, these guys are doing this, and it is wrong. You got a buzzer on your body that's zapping you and telling you what's coming? Come on, Jim. That's not even close to being right. That's not even close to being etiquette. That's not even close to necessarily stealing a sign. You're getting an advantage that's not right. You know what's coming. Shoot, you heard the best guy in baseball. You see where he's at, the California Angels. You look at, you hear this guy when he talks about, oh, my God, talking about, I wish they would pitch to me if I knew the pitches were coming. I mean, we had that cut. There's a guy we said, man, we don't get to hear anything about Mike Trout. What's he sound like? No one knows what he sound like. Well, we got to hear what he finally sound like, because he sounded off and he told everyone if he knew the pitch was coming, he would absolutely murder the ball. Come on.
Exactly. Trout said the same thing.
Yes.
There's another guy who said he'd hit 80 home runs if he knew what every pitch was that was coming
right.
All the time. Who was that? Who said it?
Stanton said that. Yeah.
Stanton.
So this is what Fiers had to say. This is from the San Francisco Chronicle. Mike Fiers said he's received death threats after he exposed the Houston Astros' 2017 sign-stealing scheme. Here's the quote. Whatever, comma, I don't care. I've dealt with a lot of death threats before. What player? Did you ever deal with a death threat as a player?
People say crazy stuff. It's not.
My God.
It's just all rhetoric. No one's going to do it. No.
It's just another day on my plate, is what he said. And I got to be honest with you. Even if I was upset with a guy, death threats? That's how crazy it's gotten. That one guy points out an entire team was cheating to the point where they won a World Series crown. He points it out. He's getting death threats?
And apparently he had gotten death threats before when he accidentally hit Giancarlo Stanton in the face with a pitch and caused him to miss a bunch of games.
Right.
And the fans were, of course, outraged that he would hit another guy in the face. And Lowe's right. A lot of times athletes are subjected to all kinds of crazy rhetoric. From this to come from David Ortiz is especially galling for me, because he's a cheater. He's a guy who used steroids. He tested positive, and he's quoted after the Mitchell report came out saying basically snitching on the Yankees players, himself a snitch. So maybe it takes one to know one, because he's talking about how he thought that, because the only thing I can think of, to be honest with you, is a lot of big guys from the Yankees are being caught, and that's why the New York Times released him as a Boston Red Sox, saying we wanted to get a Red Sox out there as well. So he was basically snitching on the New York Times, saying the only reason why his name got released is because a bunch of Yankees, Giambi, Pettit, etc., A-Rod, were pegged in this scandal.
All right.
No, 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 Jim, I'm going to ask you something, because you're, you know, you look at certain things. Now, if I took you over to China, you always talk about let them all in. And all of a sudden you're there, and it's something's going on that maybe you don't necessarily, you see, you deem is not necessarily right. But you're there.
Yes.
And you're in that, you're there. You can't get out. And you're there. You're getting paid. You're there. Are you saying something? You're in another place. You're in that place. You're in a confinement around these people. Are you?
So if I'm in China and I found out there's some wrongdoing going on, am I bold enough to step up and say, China's cheating over here? Is that what you're asking me? I'd be afraid to do that.
That's all.
I'd be very afraid.
Exactly. You're in a locker room.
Now,
you're in
once I came back to America,
yes,
I might say, hey, guys, China's cheating.
China's doing something over there.
I'm here. I'm in my comfort zone.
But that's what
Are you saying fires?
That's,
so when he was with Houston, they're cheating. He knows
he
it. He's
knows
wearing
it.
The uniform. He can't raise his hand and say, hey, all the guys around me are cheating with this system. But the minute he gets out of that ecosystem, now you've got the freedom to do it.
He can't go in the papers and say, yeah, these guys. Because then he's done. Now, he might have called. You might call home and get on the phone and say, baby, you on the phone? Well, there's some stuff going on. I can't talk about it really right now. You might tell some of your people, but you ain't, because you in the jungle. You in the midst of that.
Mm-hmm.
Man, you got to be careful when you in there. You don't. You got to walk. My daddy said, son, walk easy when you got your hand in the lion's mouth. Because if you just pull it out, he going to bite it off. So when everyone's sitting here jumping on this guy because he was in there, come on. You hear the thunder before you see the light and tell you the rain is on its way. Come out of the rain. Ooh.
I saw you and him walking in the rain.
In the rain. You were holding hands, Matt, and I'll never be the same.
Matt and Livermore. Can you help me figure out what Ortiz is trying to say? What do you got for us, Matt?
Yeah, so I think Ortiz, obviously, you know, he's way behind the eight ball for a few reasons. First off, like you guys were saying, he basically cheated himself. Also, he's involved with an organization that is also accused of cheating. The punishment has not been announced yet. He's involved with the organization as assistant to the GM, I think. Does he already know what's going on? Is that why he's pissed?
He's a Dwight Schrute of the Red Sox, assistant to the general manager.
Exactly, yeah. So maybe he knows what's going down. Maybe he's got some inside info. I don't know. That's neither here nor there. The next thing, so he's obviously not keeping up to date because the A's announced last week that they were one of the teams that notified the MLB because of the information they knew. Nothing happened. Mike Fiers, there was also a report yesterday that Jonathan Lucroy, the former A's catcher, came out and said, you know, Mike told them. And he had to, when they were facing the Astros, he had to change signs every single pitch, which significantly slows down the game. For anyone who's played baseball before, they know how much of an inconvenience that is. Mike Fiers no longer had any allegiance to the Astros. He was on their biggest rival in the AL West for the last 2 years, the A's. Why wouldn't he do something?
You know what? I think you make a great point, and
very
I don't understand why.
Good job.
Listen, I totally get it. I'm in the ecosystem. If I'm around you guys and you're cheating, I'm not going to walk out there and say, hey, these guys are cheating. But the minute I'm working somewhere else, I say, look at these guys. They're cheating. We got to beat them. Right?
And additionally, when you have a team like the A's, one of many teams that did complain to Major League Baseball about what was going on, and Major League Baseball does nothing, at some point then you get Mike Fiers in and saying, yeah, this is what's going on. And the A's are saying, see, we knew it. We complained about it. What are you going to do about it? Are you going to continue to let this happen? Or are you going to step in and try to put a stop to it?
All righty. It's time for us to jump on to the free throw count. We got two more slots in the free throw contest. For the Disgrace of Chase,
just two more.
Up on Wednesday of next week.
Yeah.
So we have two slots. Time for us to lock in one of those. You get the answer right. You call 844-999-GAME, 844-999-4263. And here's your question for the to qualify for the free throw contest. Are you ready? What did I say my favorite XFL team is? What did I say my favorite XFL team is? I don't like that question.
You're going rogue.
I'm going rogue on this one. What did I say my favorite XFL team is? 844-999-GAME. Call that. You get it right. We're going to add you to the list on the free throw contest. I didn't like that question. Okay. It makes it sound like I was ripping somebody, and I wasn't ripping anybody.
Fine. Right? Yeah. I'm just stunned that you went autonomous there. You went rogue.
I did.
You called an audible. Producers. What was that?
Just ripping the producers.
No, not ripping the producers. I just didn't like
producer. It's a board op and a producer.
You're the assistant. You're assistant
I'm a technical producer, according to the boss.
Assistant to the producer. Okay? Dwight Schrute.
Guy going through his one-hour show each and every morning. You don't get producer credit. Going through his own air check.
Wonder why Guru's my favorite.
Yeah, I know. It's a good point.
You turned on me a long time ago, Stephen.
I will say, though, Stephen was right this morning when he came on the air, and he goes, I'm giving Coase all of his content for today's show. And I'm driving in. I'm going, yeah, you're right. Okay, you got me. So, good job, Stephen.
And that's why the show's not as good as we thought it would be.
Wow. I changed the question just now to make it look like I wasn't ripping you, and you just turn around and crush me. You crush me.
Welcome to Joe Low and Dibs. Yeah. That's the way we do business here.
888-957-9570. Gabe and Martinez, where they invented what drink? Do you know?
Dibs, come on. He's asking
the martini.
The martini was invented in Martinez.
This is where you would say what else was invented in Martinez.
What else was invented in Martinez?
The DiMaggio's.
The DiMaggio's.
And the Van Gundy's, I believe.
Were invented there?
Who else, Jim?
It was also, wasn't it the, no, Benicia was the former state capital. Martinez was not. Benicia was the former state capital. So know your Martinez and Benicia history as you listen to Joe Low and Dibs. Gabriel here's the question. Is Fires a snitch or is he a hero for doing what he's doing?
Fires is a whistleblower. A whistleblower gives up the information when it's not at his own peril, out of a sense of principle or morality. A snitch gives up the information when they've been caught, and they have something to gain. So who was the one that rolled over for immunity?
Nice.
That would be the Houston Astros. And thank you for that, nice. Merriam-Webster. That
Gabriel,
was a great Webster's dictionary definition.
Gabriel must be in the law game.
Gabriel, great.
Either that or he has his dictionary out, or dictionary.com.
Well, maybe he's
He nailed it, though. I'm not disparaging him.
He nailed it.
He absolutely did.
Gabriel was an angel, too.
And
that's a great
name. Mentioned, you know, who got immunity.
Mm.
A snitch reports something so that they can get something out of it. Mike Fiers didn't gain anything by this. In fact, he lost a significant amount. He lost his reputation in the eyes of many players. So,
will the baseball protect him this year? Is it, or you think Fiers is in a situation now because you just said he lost? Do you think the MLB is going to have to do something to step in? Is it going to be that much hate, or you think that it's not?
I will be interested at the reaction he gets when he goes to Houston. To me, that's my number one. I want to know, are Astros fans going to show out in force and boo the heck out of the guy? I am not at all in fear of his safety. I don't think anyone in Texas is going to hurt the guy.
Yeah.
All right, but I do wonder what the reaction will be when Fiers goes back to Houston. And here's the other side, and that's the silent group of guys who really hate Mike Fiers right now for exposing this. Because there are a lot of people who are, hey, listen, this is our internal little scenario here. There's no need. That's not, you know, the unwritten rules in baseball?
Right.
One of them is you're not snitching out anybody.
But Mike Trout and all those guys came out and said it. Stanton came out. So
right.
So is it really?
Good call.
That's what makes it
so fascinating, because there's players who have spoken out saying this is egregious. Stanton saying, I would have hit 80 homers if I knew what was coming. And Bellinger and the other Dodgers saying this is a joke. They should lose the World Series. None of them are coming out and saying, thank you, Mike Fiers, you're a hero. But that's kind of implied that they're appreciative of the fact that he exposed this. But to Jim's point, on the other side, there's a large number of players who are thinking, man, why did you have to expose this seedy underbelly? It's the unwritten rules of baseball. What happens in the clubhouse stays in the clubhouse. So to your question, Lo, I don't think Major League Baseball can, quote, protect Mike Fiers at all. As an American League pitcher, he's not going to have to bat, if at all, maybe in an interleague game. So it's not going to be a question of someone thrown at him. I don't know how they can protect him.
I actually want to see him hit. I want to see if there is somebody out there.
Why do you want to see him hit, though?
Well, here the reason is because that's the only opportunity someone would have to show their true feelings about what Mike Fiers did. If he comes to the plate and the opposition pitcher does throw at him, you know that there's some animus around Major League Baseball for it, right? Because we're hearing loud and clear from the Trouts of the world. And listen, Mike Trout.
That's a big name.
Exactly. He's got the ability to say what he wants about whatever he wants because he's among the biggest stars in the game. All right? So he can do that. But I think that there might be some other guys who are afraid to walk out into the sunlight and be heard as, hey, Fire should have kept his yap shut. It's none of his business what was going on.
104 plate appearances for Fires in his career. He's never been hit by a pitch. And when you think about...
That's the over-under, Vegas.
0.5 HBPs for Fires.
Yep, that's the over-under.
He had 34 plate appearances last year, which is a pretty decent number for an American League pitcher.
That's a ton.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. That goes back to 2015. Okay. My mistake. That was when he played for Milwaukee. He hasn't batted since 2017, so he may not bat at all this year. That was the quick glance technique, looking down at the stats.
That's okay. That's
how many pitchers get hit by pitches throughout the course of a year? Not that many to begin with, when you think about it.
We have a winner in my contest because I've changed the question, and you were wondering if anyone cared.
It's not your contest.
And it is my contest.
I approved of your question change. Just the manner in which you did it, I felt, was a little bit underhanded.
It's what I do here. I kind of hijack a show, and that's what I'm going to do. The question was, what's my favorite XFL team? And you know what?
Ren. What was the answer?
Ren in Lange from the 415.
What?
His name is Ren Lang, but I think it sounds better if we call him Ren Lange. Ren Lang from the 415 got it right.
Who was it?
Ren Lange. Okay. And what was do you remember what my favorite XFL team is?
Yeah, absolutely. Everyone
the
did.
Houston Roughnecks.
Yeah, they play. You talked about them playing against Tampa this week.
And I was right, the Vipers.
Well, you guessed and dibs confirmed. You're right.
I didn't guess. You can't guess a schedule. You got to know the schedule.
No,
who do they have in week four?
I take it one week at a time.
What's that? We take it one game at a time.
One game at a time.
In the XFL.
Exactly.
You are such a fraud.
One week at a time.
Sure.
I've got my sights set on Tampa Bay. And Mark Trestman.
This is the XFL.
How many games do they play in the season? Do you know that?
Let me tell you
this. How many games?
When we have...
How many?
10. When we have...
When's their bye week?
God, you guys are crazy. When... I don't even know the Bears bye week. I don't know the Niners bye week.
When we go through, we talk Niners, the day the schedule comes out, we go through week by week.
Yes.
Where's the bye? First quadrant, four games. We go through the entire thing. So if you're really a fan,
if it's really a sport
and you're really a fan, you're going to know who they have in week four. You're not going to take it one week at a time.
I'm taking it one week at a time. I'm keeping it a buck. All right, I'm keeping it a buck.
You're keeping it 50 cent right now.
Night.
They've got the Dallas Renegades, by the way, after that. I know these things, okay?
Renegade.
Am I right or am I not right? They take on Mark Trestman in Tampa Bay, and then they go to take on Bob Stoops and the Dallas Renegades. Am I right or am I not right?
You got that one?
All right, boom. Then who?
So he's in the text line. You know what's going on.
No,
thank you for saving
him. Look it. Read the text line. You go up and down a text line.
He's trying to save him. Someone saved him. He's got it up on the screen.
North Korea, it says. They gave me the tip. North Korea.
Yeah.
Okay?
Hey, Jim. You talk about going to see Mike Fires getting hit.
Thank you for bringing the show back to where it should be.
Now, are you worried? Would it show you if guys didn't like him, if he's a guy's coming around third and he's got to protect home?
That's a good one, too. You know, like if there's a wild pitch or the ball gets away and he's got to cover a base, I'm going to see how guys go into that base.
But don't they always go into it, though? Are we going to make it bigger than what it is, Daniel?
Yeah.
When it happens?
Yes.
Oh, they try to get him. You think the guy's got that on his mind? God, I want to see him. I'll go there. I'm going to, you know what?
Absolutely. Same thing with Jose Altuve when he's playing second base and he's trying to turn a double play. And you've got somebody going in trying to barrel roll him.
It'll be blown up
into being a huge, huge thing.
Okay,
much like Albert Bell and Fernando Vina, Jim. When he famously stopped halfway to second base and basically knocked out Fernando Vina.
That was weak. Fernando's my guy.
Super dirty play.
Yeah, but Fernando's my guy.
Albert Joey Bell, overtly physical in that play.
Yeah,
juicer too. By the way,
he's a juicer.
Former juicer.
Who wins in this whole battle so far? On the Mike Fires outing the Astros. Astros now get penalized. They bring in Dusty. They look to be a cluster. Their owner just was a miserable disgrace at the podium.
Then he hung
out Dusty. They look like the Keystone Cops. They don't know what they're doing, right? Every player's quote is weak. The owner's even weaker.
It's like an episode of Benny Hill right now.
It really is. All they need is yakety sacks behind them when they go start talking. You got they're taking batting practice, and a Yankee fan is there beating on a garbage can on the very first batting practice. But who wins in all
this? I'm going to tell you who wins. Major League Baseball.
Do you got it right, brother? Amen.
Well, you finally we're in the same church.
Yes,
you're sitting on my lap.
I'm on your lap, and we are singing from the hymnal.
Same
together.
Draws. My goodness,
exactly.
Major League Baseball wins because it's they're still talking about it. We're still talking about it. This is something that's going to continue to be talked about, and that's why I said this is bigger than the steroid era. When you think about the way this is just coming down and all the pandering and everyone's doing. It's crazy. This is this is better than the Young and the Restless, no question.
From the 209, can you imagine Mike Fiers if he's the opening day pitcher against the Astros? Must see TV. Jack and Tracy. Listen, Joe was saying the other day, I want to watch every Astros game because I want to see what they're doing. We had Vescursion on the other day. Their first game of the year is Astros Angels, I think. And now you've got Trout coming out and talking about the Astros. Vescursion is already wondering, how the heck am I going to treat this first game? What am I going to do? And it's opening day. We should be rejoicing in baseball. Spring is here.
National TV.
National TV.
Isn't
it's the
it?
Biggest game.
Have they put it on? Has it already been set? National.
It's
already...
the thing. It's the thing. And you know what?
But that goes to show you. Look at this. You're talking about glory and fine. We talk about how we punishing these people. Let's not. All of a sudden, what are we doing? We're going now. They get national TV. It's something. Now you're going to put them on front and center. Why? Because it's not about them. It's about the ratings, and it's about money. And you've caused now situation where a sport that was sputtering around, and now everyone's going to watch a game because of something that happened. Tell me, baseball isn't capitalizing on something negative?
There you go. And by the way, I'm all aboard. I think you and Joe were on the Soch this week. What should we be doing at A's games this year?
We're going to do a throw and a stroh, Jim. We're going to have a little booth out there. We're going to do a bad tattoo contest.
Yes, bad tattoo contest.
Because Jose Altuve famously had a bad tattoo, and that's why he couldn't
take the jersey off.
He didn't want to take his jersey off, and so we're going to have a bad tattoo contest, Jim. Where
I like it, Dibs.
Do you like it?
Bad tattoo night.
I will show up on that night.
I'm with you, Dibbers. Me and you together.
And we can give away, you know, like the fake tattoos? We can give away fake tattoos that are bad tattoos. You know, we can have fans come out into the parking lot. I'm not kidding. I think you guys were on this thing.
Yes, and additionally, we're going to have a throw and a stroh booth in the parking lot where we're going to dress up a mini mannequin as Jose Altuve. You can come take a baseball and throw it at Jose Altuve, taking out your frustrations over this whole cheating scandal.
Now, I think that that's good fun and games. Do you think that people will look at us like we're bad people because we're saying that you're trying to hurt the image of an Altuve?
If we actually dressed up somebody, an actual human being, as Jose Altuve and threw at him, then yes, maybe that would be across the line.
Speaking of Altuve, I want to get to something that Ortiz said about Altuve in a second. But first, you're listening to 95.7 The Game. KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, radio.com sports station. Joe Lowen Dibs the program. I am Jim Cozumore. Joe is off today, back on Monday. He's enjoying some weekend time with his lovely wife, and they're hopefully going to run into Aubrey Huff somewhere this weekend because I think that would be
epic,
hilarious. Because nobody loves a troll job more than me, and that would be the greatest troll that our station could experience.
Legendary.
That would be absolutely legendary. So, Joe, I hope you run into Aubrey and his boys. That's all I'm saying.
And why you add "and his boys"?
Because he's...
I don't want him to run into...
That's part of the tweeting that Aubrey was doing. He's his sons, not his... running crew.
Okay, thank you.
His actual sons.
Okay.
All right? So, let's get back. You were mentioning Altuve. And by the way, can we really honestly do what you were just saying? The bad tattoo contest, we can hand out fake tattoos that are bad tattoos. Do the throw it a stroh. Can we do that, honestly? I would do that in a heartbeat.
Absolutely. Would love to do it.
Like a little afternoon game? Like right after the show, head on over to the yard?
I think it's going to be for the first game, which is that Monday, the Monday night game. The Astros' first road game of the year is at the Coliseum.
That's not as the A's are known to do. Are they going head-to-head against the NCAA final?
No, actually, the NCAA final is the next Monday.
Okay, because they are famous for having a night game the night of the NCAA final.
And I used to go every year to the opener. Dave Stewart would be on the mound.
Dave.
You bring your Walkman. You listen to the second half of the NCAA championship game. And with your old foam headphones.
You're
with
like
the
Steve
bar over
Bartman
the top.
Of the Oakland A's.
Oh, Steve Bartman was decades after the Walkman was actually in vogue. I'm talking about 1988, 89, 90. That era, back
so
when the Coliseum was, no, Jim, born and raised here in the Bay Area, unlike you, some Chicago interloper who wouldn't know how to go get to Oakland.
Get him, dibs.
If he doesn't get through the Caldecott Tunnel by dark, he starts to panic and call 911. That's who you are.
Pet. I drive with a comfort pet at that
yes,
time.
Yes, the pride of Danville, afraid to be in the nickel and dime after dark. I, a Bay Area resident, now living in Oakland for almost 20 years.
Well,
a little
Alameda,
bit of a different
but,
story.
You know, it's
that's
not
where
really
Lowe
Oakland,
lives.
But, you know.
I live in East Oakland, Jim, which is a place that... The only time you go to East Oakland is when you go to the zoo, okay?
Whoa.
And that was once in the daylight.
Right.
Okay.
And I rest my case, Your Honor.
Okay. We left early.
The A's used to open up on the Monday night of the national championship game, 50,000 on hand, back when the Coliseum was a destination. And you probably don't even remember pre-Mount Davis when you could walk.
Oh, no, I used to go there. Yeah, back 89. That's when I moved out here, was 89, 90 season. I would sit out there. What a spec. I've talked about this on our Scrub Saturday show. Maybe you should listen.
I'm too busy living my life, Jim.
What a spectacular view of the hills you had before Mount Davis. People and kids growing up today don't realize how that ballpark was spectacular.
The real spectacular view, though, was the East Bay patronage that would mill about throughout the outfield, throughout the bleachers. The beautiful people, Jim. The pride of the East Bay. But then, yes, you would gaze longingly into the hills. It was a spectacular place to be, especially on the opening night.
You're talking about the honeys, aren't you?
Well, yeah.
Mm.
Thanks for thanks for pointing it out, Jim. Jimbo. Now I got to say good morning to the missus. Appreciate that. My poor son on his way to high school.
I love you, too, when you guys have this.
Give me a little of my guy, Big Pappy. Big Pappy talked about Jose Altuve.
Mm.
All righty? And I found this interesting because Altuve is enemy number one around Major League Baseball because he didn't want them to rip his jersey off, and he claimed the bad tattoo that we are going to now snack on as we try to promote ourselves at an A's game. This is what David Ortiz had to say about Altuve.
Altuve, to me, might be the best hitter in the game. But look at where he got caught into the mug that he's into now. I don't know how he's going to be able to deal with all the trash coming from fans and everybody every time he step on that plate. So if you might see him this year struggle, I don't think it's going to be because he missing knowing what's coming. Your mind play a big role in the game. It's going to be a huge distraction for the game for a while.
It is, but the Astros brought it on themselves. So is Altuve actually not the criminal in this? Altuve's not the face of the bad part of the Houston Astros. Altuve's a victim in this. He's a victim
Please.
Because people are pointing at him saying, look at poor little 5'4" Jose Altuve.
Wow.
How can we be angry at a guy who just loves the game so much? Right?
I don't think anyone's necessarily angry at Jose Altuve.
I think they are.
And for those of us who've covered Jose Altuve since he was a single-A player, Jim, when I was doing play-by-play and doing color commentary for the San Jose Giants.
Did we do one together?
No, never.
A Stockton game?
I worked with the legendary Joe Rizzo and also Zach Beirutti, who was doing play-by-play for Stockton
at the time.
Oh, Rizzo Rizzo?
The Ports.
That's a nice Joe little Rizzo. Stadium, actually.
Joe Rizzo, the legend, by the way. The future of Giants broadcasting. He's fantastic.
Legend? Future?
I'm not questioning that. I'm just...
You just made fun of his name.
No,
instead
I didn't make fun of it. That's a reference to one of the great films of all time.
Grease, right?
No. Is it? No. No,
oh, no.
Not Rizzo.
Rizzo
is...
Is he
not
hated?
Taxi Driver.
Yes. Not Taxi... No, Taxi... Is it Taxi Driver?
Taxi Driver. Yeah. Not Taxi with Latka.
I love Taxi.
Latka
and Danny DeVito.
Nice Latka
Hey,
Gravis.
Latka.
Nice Latka Gravis poll here at 8:07 on a Friday.
Shout out Judd Hirsch. Mary Lou Henner.
Yes.
As we go way back in time.
Mary Lou Henner has the same thing John Dickinson has. She can remember every day of her life.
No,
you give her a date, she will tell you what happened that day.
And John Dickinson has the same level of recall?
Yeah,
total
affliction.
Recall?
Yeah, you can call it whatever you want, but he has total recall.
Okay, what do you call it, Jim?
No. Affliction.
Oh.
It's a very sad... It's like everyone's like, wow, I wish I could remember everything in my life. You also remember the bad things. It's not always a good thing.
You can't remember
John Dickinson
the bad
can remember every single day.
John Dickinson...
I'm going to say no.
Don't you know what he... weren't you listening when he famously last year ripped off every Warrior game start to all 82 games he recited start to finish?
I do remember that, yeah.
That's pretty spectacular. Yeah, he's got a version of that affliction. Mary Lou Henner has the extreme version where she can literally remember every day of her life.
Man, no thank you.
It is tough.
I'd rather be where I am, where I can't remember a darn thing.
Yeah, I kind of forget what happened in the 6 o'clock hour. That's selective memory.
Yeah.
By the way,
I'll tell you something that I'll remember. I remember Poppy when he just said, "If he doesn't hit well, oh, don't worry because of pressure." The Warriors won 73 games and they didn't win the title. Right. The following year, what'd they do? They won a title. You got to realize champions, greatness, they always understand what people say and what they're saying about them. And if you're a true champion, if you're a true warrior.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.